now listening to the Dreaming of Freedom podcast on the 2 Cents FC Network.
All right, welcome back to the Dreaming of Freedom podcast, where we talk about all things black soccer in MLS. I'm Jermaine.
Gally.
And I'm AD.
And we are members of Black Herons United, an independent black supporters group for Inter Miami and all things black soccer in South Florida.
For episode 26, we talk about the trash that is MLS, the greatness that is NWSL, our match day 37 dream team, and healthcare. So stick around to catch it all.
All right, we are back. Like Remy Ma and Fat Joe leaning in the club. And Cali, speaking of Terror Squad, Miami Marlins, yikes. Inter Miami, yikes. How you doing, man?
I mean, you said it, man. We had a kind of a tough stretch there for our hometown clubs. You know, Miami Marlins 0-2 and Sia in the MLB playoffs after just squeaking in. You know, Inter Miami going out not with a bang but with a whimper. You know, it is what it is, dog. I mean, we're hurting out here.
A pretty sad exit. Man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyways, AD.
It's good.
Fat Joe or 50 Cent? Oof.
Can I just say?
Say.
In my middle school days, when the boy attended Redland Middle School.
Okay, shout out Redland.
Yeah. I had Get Rich or Die Tryin' on my CD player all the time. I wore that bitch out.
Wow.
Big 50 guy.
That is a banger, though.
Yeah.
That is a banger.
Classic.
Yeah. Hey. I used to try and wear the tank tops and shit like 50 used to do, but the,
ooh, you know,
I was chubby and white, so I was chubby and white, dude. It didn't work out for me. But
I mean, I'll take it.
I don't think anyone can rock the tank tops like 50 does. I mean,
that dude, at least in the early 2000s, dude was built like a brick wall and you could rock a tank top.
Right.
Those things look like painted on.
Pillsbury Doughboy, I could not.
I'm gonna go 50 though.
50. Yeah. Can I throw Ja Rule?
If you throw Ja Rule in the conversation, I'm probably going Ja Rule. But
you going Ja Rule? I love that. Cali, disagree?
I stick with 50, man. I wore 50 out back in the day, man.
Hey,
Ja had some bangers too, though. But
yeah, I mean, I guess you're not a big Firefest supporter. That's all.
Not my team. We were bamboozled. We were hoodwinked.
Woof.
I feel fraudulent even talking about Firefest. Jesus. Yo.
No, I believe it.
Yo. So, speaking of fire, NWSL is absolutely on fire right now. That playoff race was nuts. Absolutely bananas. That decision day, I think the top maybe 6 or 7 teams that were all like separated within like 2 or 3 points or something like that. It was absolutely nuts. Now, Cali, you mentioned to us a few weeks ago that you are actually escaping the 305, moving to the Chocolate City.
That's right.
Washington, D.C. And as such, you have declared loyalty to the Washington Spirit. So how are you feeling about their season? Unfortunately, it didn't end in a playoff appearance, but how are you feeling about the playoff season? How are you feeling about the Washington Spirit season and then the NWSL playoffs that kick off tonight?
Yeah. My wife and I made a decision. You know, we have some good opportunities in DC, so that's where we're headed in the summer. After our contracts are up, and I'm really, really excited. We're both very excited. As far as Washington Spirit, though, it was tumultuous. The goal differential wasn't great, but a lot of fast-paced, exciting footy. Up front, you know, obviously, like everyone knows about, you know, Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez. But there was also, you know, French superstar that came in the summer, Ulamata Sarr, that she's absolutely brilliant. Probably the best passer on the team. And then Ashley Hatch, who's been, you know, one of the better goal scorers in NWSL the last few years. Very exciting. And then on the back, you had, you know, Sam Staub, who won Iron Woman, played every minute of every match this year. The U.S. is number one keeper, Aubrey Kingsbury, you know, in net. So it's a really fun team, but, you know, just ran out of gas there at the end. And yeah, NWSL decision day was wild. If you, to put it in this perspective, if the Spirit had won, they would have finished as a 3 seed. They lost and they fell out of the playoffs, which is, like, you know, very,
yeah,
very,
that's tight. That's, yeah, tight.
Decision day was absolutely wild. It was frustrating because, you know, Trinity got a pretty questionable red in like the 12th minute or so. And that changed everything, you know, and that she's the heart and core of the heart and soul of the attack there. And, you know, she's one of the fastest players in the league. And obviously everyone knows about her goal scoring ability and her ability to create space. But yeah, man, NWSL has been fantastic. I started watching it a lot, especially this season. I watched more of it than ever before. And man, there's just so much talent in the league. And I know I mentioned it to you guys in chat a while ago. I would argue that probably pound for pound, like top to bottom, NWSL is probably a deeper league than MLS. And it's easy to say that because I guess, you know, men have more options in terms of, you know, where they can go play and stuff like that. But NWSL has been absolutely fantastic, fun to watch, so much parity. Again, like, no one, only I think only two teams in the league were eliminated come decision day. Man, just so much fun and so much awesome players, especially you know, Black and Latino Brazilian players, like Sophia Smith led the league in scoring with 11 goals, and you had the likes of like Debinha, Carolyn, and then some of the ones that everyone knows, Trini Rodman, Crystal Dunn, you know, and then some other ballers like Sar from the Washington Spirit, Lynn Williams from New York, New Jersey, Gotham. You know, there's so many, the list goes on and on. But such a fun league. And tonight, and we're recording this Friday, October 20th, OL Reign square up against, Angel City, and yep. Yeah, those are two powerhouses too. So tune in, man, 10 p.m. tonight, and follow along. It's gonna be fun. Every team is very exciting to watch, and you know, Portland is the dog right now, but you never know.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hell of a playoffs for sure. You know, and to your point, it's just there's mad parity in the league, which is always fun, right? It makes the competition fun, makes the games fun. But in contrast to MLS, right, the NWSL is arguably the best women's footy league in the world. You know, we can probably match that up with France or England, but Spain is also up there. But again, in terms of parity, right, across the board, right, in terms of competition, right, one through eight, yeah, 1 through 9, they're all right there, right, like competing on the same level. So that's always fun to watch. And we definitely want to continue to see the game grow. Definitely got my eyes on the Gotham. We're going to see, you know, big Lynn Williams fan, big Mitch Purse fan.
Imagine another one.
Callie, any predictions for who might win it all?
Man, I know the Twitter machine and the, you know, especially with the women's national ties, it's you know, Rapinoe's last season. She announced her retirement, so I think a lot of people are probably going to be pulling for OL Reign. San Diego's very good. Portland's very good. I think Portland has just a little too much firepower for everyone else. To put it in perspective, they have both the goals leader in the league in Sophia Smith and the assist leader in the league in Sam McCaffey. You know, they're very, very, very good. I'd probably have a hard time choosing against Portland. I know, you know, Shea Butter Girls may cast a stone at me for that one, but with Sky being an Angel City fan and Sills being a Rain fan, but yeah, if I'm a betting man, I'd say Portland, but again, with the amount of parity in this league, who knows? You know, Courage can very much they snuck into the playoffs on decision day, but they have some ballers on that team too. You know, like Carolyn is just absolutely sensational. Miroma is absolutely sensational, and their, you know, their attack is very, very good, and it played a lot better towards the second half of the year. So I don't know. I wouldn't sleep on Courage either. So that's what I mean, might be excited for that one. So
yeah, they play Gotham October 22nd. So hopefully they don't ball too much. Definitely gotta see Gotham make it through. But we'll see. You know, again, the parity is good, competition is good. So I think anyone can really make it on any given day. So NWSL balling out, great to see them doing good things. MLS on the other hand, not so much. AD man, Inter Miami, bro. There's a term I was thinking of.
Talk to me.
And at first it was like, okay, shiny, glitz, you know, glitz and glamour, all that. But nah, this team deserves something a little bit more sophisticated. The term deserves something a little bit more sophisticated. And so I was thinking of the term gilded, right? Meaning covered in gold, but only to conceal something of little value underneath it, right? And I think Inter Miami describes that quite well at the moment. And you know, a couple of weeks ago, as a joke, you just kind of posed a question, right, in the chat.
Yeah.
But I think it's an absolutely valid question, right? Was Messi worth it? Right? Was Messi worth it? Because as amazing as that Leagues Cup was, I mean, the euphoria of all Inter Miami fans was just stupid high, right? Like we felt like this is the be all and end all of supporter experiences, right? But for some reason, right now at this moment, I think I feel lower than I've ever felt. Oof. As an Inter Miami supporter. I don't know, man. How you feeling?
Okay. First off, I like that you made the analogy of Inter Miami being gold plated jewelry, basically. And I can't disagree too much. It seems like we put gold plating around a product that wasn't 100% real, wasn't 100% or 14-10 karat gold. But that was okay. We brought it out there. People liked the shine. It was great. And financially, I think the club would say that it was worth it. Because they brought back revenue tenfold. And they also brought revenue to the rest of the league and to League's Cup. So in those terms, I believe that like the owners would say, sure, yeah, it was worth it. From a fan perspective, I'm watching Cali shake his head, but I do feel like the highs might have been worth it, because at the height of League's Cup, everybody was saying this is what we've dreamed for. This is we deserve this. This is what we've been waiting for. And at the height of League's Cup, Inter Miami was at the top of the world. Everybody was talking about us. Everybody was talking about Messi 24/7. I was seeing people wearing Inter Miami jerseys, whether they had Messi on the back or not, all over Reels, all over Instagram, just like playing regular pickup. And you see celebrities or like Instagram influencers wearing the shirt. We saw Stormzy wearing it. And I'm like, okay. I like that people are recognizing our little club. We sit in this little tin stadium, but everybody is rocking us right now. And I'm like, okay, y'all like the pink. I like that. So, like, I feel like it might have been worth it. It just feels bad because it's like a drug. Like, it's it's like Inter Miami was a heroin kind of crack thing, where we felt super high when we were winning that League's Cup trophy. And then now, as we picked up injuries to Messi and Jordi Alba, we couldn't sustain the product that we had been putting out. It's the lowest of lows, but it's because we were already so high. So that crash, it's a big fall.
Damn. Not crack, bro.
My fault. I couldn't think.
I never did crack, but damn, that's... It feels like that's what's going on right now.
Me
bro. Like the highest of highs and then literally the lowest of lows, bro. And I'm trying to figure out how I can get that high back. Callie, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, AD. Like, and here's the thing. When we first got Messi, right, we were elated. I mean, we saw the free kick in the Leagues Cup game that won it in his debut for us. You know, we saw, and the thing is, before we had to worry about ourselves, the Messi factor was real and it was exhilarating. And you're right, it was very much a high. It's like, and a high that we've never had before. Like this club instantly went to a place it had never been before, because the club, before the arrival of Messi and co, you know, was pretty mediocre. You know, for the most part, like just not playing. We never played great football. A couple exciting moments, snuck into the playoffs last year, but nothing tangible, nothing like to get super excited about. And then Messi gets here, starts banging in goals, winning games, you know, and then the play between him, Busquets, Alba, it was exhilarating. And I think for me, the moment that the novelty wore off is when I got the email about the renewals. And it's like, I'm not going to get to see very much of this because I can't afford to go to games anymore. So was Messi the right call from a purely football perspective? Absolutely. Without question. It was, I mean, again, the watching him, like watching him wear a shirt for a club that I love and play the way that he did. Yeah. Yeah, greatest, one of the greatest things I've seen. But then when, unfortunately, the business aspect sits in, it's like, okay, now the glimmering is starting to wear off a little bit. Now the gilded paint is starting to peel a bit, and it's like, okay, we're running out of the novelty here, so. It's tough. And I know I have the benefit of saying that, like, I'm leaving, so it's easy for me to be like, oh, fuck this, and, like, not renew and stuff like that. But I know 99% of Inter Miami fans are wrestling with what to do about that. So.
No, that's a great point, man, that it was that moment at renewal, right? When they sent that damn email with them 100% increased season tickets, that's when it kind of hit, like, damn. Messi really is here, damn it. Like, you know, like, which is to say, on the one hand, Messi brings so much joy, brings so much, you know, positivity, brings so much, you know, so many things to look forward to as a supporter. But goddamn, like, we quickly realized, or we quickly forgot, that this is all a business, right? This is all a business.
Capitalism is still alive and well, baby.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We're going to start on that one, please.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't get Cali started. He's, you know, he's always ready.
John Brown.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, just this is what we forget, right? That this move was never for the supporters. It was never, you know, I mean, sure, I'm sure 10% was, right? But it's all a business. It's all a business. And we forgot that momentarily, and we were quickly reminded, just as quickly as we forgot. So it's just a struggling. This is a struggling time for Inter Miami supporters. I really feel like, ironically, Messi's arrival has brought more. I don't want to say negativity, but more problems, right? More concerns than it did answers, right? Than it did kind of solutions. The North Stand is completely unbearable to me. Right? I haven't been to a game since that last time we talked about. The North Stand. It's just madness. You know, so it's a lot of changes, a lot of unfortunate changes, right? But I guess again, this is the reminder that this is all business.
What did Mary J. Blige say again? More money, more problems.
More money, more problems.
But it's true. It's like, you know, small contracts, small problems. Big contracts, big problems, you know.
Yeah.
We're kind of staring that in the face now. And it's a shame because I remember going to games at 3:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday, and we're all cooking in the stands. And yeah, maybe the north stand was probably 3/4 full, but we can all watch the game and we can enjoy it. The north stand's a madhouse, and there's no watching the game unless you're ready to stand on a rail and, you know, pray for whatever happens next. But everything comes at a cost, man, and this was a cost for Messi. And, you know, at least we can say, hey, we saw him in the flesh, and, you know, then we move on. We have to watch on TV, or we can't go as often, or whatever the case is. But it is what it is, man.
Yeah. It is what it is, man. It is what it is.
And then who knows who's coming next?
Well, listen, I don't even want to talk about that because the rumors that are out there right now, listen, my heart is not doing well with these Luis Suarez rumors.
That was a tough one for me, man. As like a Liverpool fan, it's like, man, I remember Luis Suarez in 2013, 2014, and him scoring like, it was like something like 47 goals in all competitions in a season. You know, it's hard for me to see that, as him do that for a club that I love and be like, man, that's exciting. But then everything that's attached to Luis Suarez, it's like, I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me, you know. But it's a shame, man. And I mentioned it in the Two Cents chat earlier, but when Neymar recovers from his ACL injury, who knows? A little MSN reunion in South Beach.
I mean, it looks like it might be headed that way.
Listen.
This is all speculation, of course. Although I think Luis Suarez is I mean, I would bet a fairly comfortable amount that he's here next year. But
Tata said it. I mean, said as much, right? Like, he said, like, yo, Suarez is... He's locked and loaded, ready to come down and rejoin Messi.
I would,
whether or not there's any truth to that, I'm not sure.
I would bet that he's here right now.
Hey,
because if we think about it, what's his name? Josef Martínez had been here for a minute before he got signed.
This is true.
But Josef was already like out of contract with Atlanta. I think Suarez is finishing, or at least getting to the winter window with Gremio before he comes over. I know he's Gremio. Like hurt right now, like air quotes, and not playing so much, but
okay.
And also, I mean, if there's a guy that's really like his best is behind him, it's Luis Suarez, man, because
really?
You know, obviously we saw him at his best in Liverpool, and then we saw him in Barcelona, and then even when he was with Atletico Madrid, he wasn't, you know, his last year, he wasn't really coming off the bench too much, and he wouldn't play that much. And then in Gremio, he wasn't playing that much. So MLS is a really physical league, and I don't know how he would hold up here, to be honest. Hey, man, it's not my money paying him. And then, of course, you have the racist allegations and everything that happened with Patrice Evra. You know, apparently they talked it out, but still, to have that in you to say that's really fucked up. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to keep
you.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, man, we'll be scoring goals. So
he will.
I'm saying him in, maybe, but
I don't want to keep yucking people's yum. But
again, if he played for Manchester United, or if he played for Chelsea or Tottenham, I would not want him in this club. The only thing that's like, ooh, I'd love to see. I kind of want to see him in the pink and black. Is the fact that he played for Liverpool and he gave me one of the most exciting seasons I've ever witnessed. But I completely understand, and I'm on board with you when I say I don't know if I want that here. So,
word. I mean, it's a sign of the times for MLS as a league, right? The fact that we're even talking about MSN, right, coming to MLS, or you know, being an MLS. So it's exciting times for the league. It's also shitty time for the league. Yeah. They have a lot going on. They have a lot going on. I think there's at least like 6 or 7 head coaching vacancies in MLS right now.
Yep.
Let's see. Actually, there's 9. There's 9 MLS vacancies. Let me run it by real quick. Chicago Fire, Minnesota United, Portland Timbers, New England Revolution, Colorado Rapids, San Diego. Well, they're an expansion team. DC United, New York Red Bulls, and Orlando City. So all of these have vacancies, right? They have, obviously, they have interim coaches. We'll still consider those vacant. A couple of big names in there, right? Minnesota United, Adrian Heath got released. New England Revolution, we all know about Bruce Arena. But we don't know about what the hell happened with Bruce Arena.
It's still a little unclear. So tight.
Bro, hella tight, hella tight.
Vacuum seal.
And I think they did that because maybe of his connection to the USSF and the fact that he was the men's national team coach for a while, and he's a staple in the US soccer community. But man, the thing is, leaks are gonna come. Something's gonna come out eventually that he said some wild dumb shit, and he has a history of doing it. Like, we remember his comments about dual nationals in the US. He's made racist comments before. He's made Islamophobic comments before. He's been xenophobic before. And now there's been rumors of this was racist or sexual harassment or something like that. So, but the motherfucker's still getting phone calls because it's looking like he's next in line at DC, which is fucking wild considering everything they've been through recently.
Make it make sense, Callie.
I can't. I cannot. I cannot make it make sense. That is something I am incapable of doing. I was gonna say, but it just kind of speaks to how MLS is kind of like the NFL. They just recycle coaches through each other instead of giving someone new a chance.
Exactly. I don't understand how we keep rotating this coach's carousel without trying to get some new fresh blood in, or at least the fresh blood that you had in. Take a look at them first before you take a look at the guy who just got terminated for something that they won't release what he did. And he hasn't apologized for it. There hasn't been a statement they wrapped that up. Everything is cool now. No, he just stayed quiet. And they're like, oh, he might be going to DC next. What happened to what he just did?
Wait a minute, what? Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's nuts. It reminds me of, I don't know if this is a proper comparison. It reminds me of the stories that we hear about when police officers, right, commit some type of abuse in one city, and then they get hired in another police department across the nation. It's like, wait a minute,
weren't you just
you were just violating all these laws, and now you're hired to be chief of another, like what's happening?
These are
here?
Different laws to violate.
Yeah.
Just more laws to violate. Exactly. just do the rounds, basically.
My thing is there are young coaches that have kind of first time-ish head coaches that have finally kind of gotten a cup of coffee that were in kind of bad situations. Like Ezra Hendrickson had a terrible roster in Chicago. He got fired, but there was a moment in the sun there that people were banging on the table saying he was one of the better coaches in the league. Robin Frazier in Colorado, again, dog shit roster, and dude's not getting phone calls. And something that I just thought of, and connecting the string on the corkboard here, trying to get a little creative. There's a man coaching in France right now. Has MLS experience.
Talk about it.
All right. This dude's a big name. He's coached in some big leagues.
Talk about it.
Played in Italy. Played in England. Currently coach of Strasbourg in France. Coached New York City FC. Patrick Vieira?
Come on.
would this guy be interested in coming back stateside? A guy that's a team, because Strasbourg is struggling. They're 15th in France right now. And I know he kind of went there for a bit of a career rehab after everything that happened at Crystal Palace and all that stuff. They were talking about him. I remember his name floating around for the U.S. men's national team job when they're kind of in that transitory period.
That's right. That's right.
That's a guy you can call. And that's a guy that I think would do well here. He's done well here in the past. But there's a lot of good coaches that haven't been recycled through the system. That, you know, and I understand, like, the season's still technically ongoing. There's another game to play. There's going to be, you know, we have to go through playoffs, and then the offseason we'll see if this comes to fruition. But, you know, it's just baffling to me that a guy with Bruce Arena that has so much controversy attached to him, and who, quite frankly, the best is behind him, likely. Like, why, you know, he's already being thrown into the fire in DC, a club that struggled with not one, but two, if you want to talk about three major racist incidents in the last two seasons. Two of them with Taxi Fortuna, who's no longer at the club, and then obviously everything that we saw with the athletic trainer. You know, you think this can be a healing move, but no, we're gonna bring in this clown. So
all this baggage, yeah, it's nuts, right? And you know, word on the street, and I'm not saying what street that is, but word on the street is that, you know, Ezra felt cheated, right?
He should have
losing that job. Absolutely. And not only that, but another word on the street is that, you know, there's a feeling that black coaches aren't getting, right, the same opportunities, there's this Brian Flores effect happening in MLS, right? Of course, the allegations that Brian Flores had against NFL is that, you know, a lot of these teams are just doing the performative,
the
Rooney Rule, right? Thank you. So is that what's happening in MLS, right? Are black coaches feeling that same type of experience in MLS? And again, word on the street, I'm not saying where that street is, but the block is hot, right? The block is hot. And so we're going to see what happens. Again, I think we said it's like nine
vacancies.
Head coaching vacancies, right? So at least a third, you would like to see at least a third of those positions being filled by people of color, right? By black folks specifically. And so we're going to see. We know we're going to see those recycled coaches. We know Bruce will probably show up there. Heath will probably show up again.
Brother,
but Robin Fraser, right? He should be showing up again, right? Patrick Vieira, if he wants, he should be showing up again. Ezra Hendrickson, he should be showing up again, right? So we're gonna see, and the list goes on, right? There's a list of black potential coaches that are in the pipeline that just aren't getting the opportunity that they deserve.
How is Phil Neville getting looks for manager jobs right now?
If I may,
and you know what, Phil, thank you for the memories, because I wasn't a Phil hater per se.
Yeah.
I think he wasn't that great of a game manager. I think he was a great locker room guy or whatever, and that's fine. But yeah, motherfucker has been attached to every single job. I haven't seen, and I'm pretty well versed in specifically MLS Twitter writers and stuff like that, and I follow almost all of them. I haven't seen Fraser's name come up once. I haven't seen Hendrickson's name come up once. You know, I've seen Patrick Vieira's name, and I know that one's more kind of like pipe dream because he's coaching in a premier division in Europe right now, and that's fine. But, you know, there's no reason why if Fraser and Hendrickson don't get a look right now or don't get an offer here, then I'm going to go ahead and say that there's an active decision being made. Because, you know, again, a league that famously recycles coaches, how wouldn't they be involved in that mix? You know, so.
I feel like it's such a good word to use, right? Like recycle, right? Like you're talking about coaches that are being let go, that are being fired, right? Trash, right? Trash coaches, right? The trash is just being recycled, bro. Like, what are we doing? right? We need some new products, right? We need some, I'm tired of using the same damn dishes, right? And they're dirty dishes, damn it. Come on.
And it's kind of like the police analogy. Like, hey, man, he did his job really poorly here. Let's see if he'll do it better here.
You know? He deserves another job, yeah, right? Like, it's nuts. Like, you're being rewarded for mediocrity, right? And this is like the definition of white privilege, right? We talk about it like, I mean, we don't talk about it as much as we probably should, but a lot of people talk about this, right? That white privilege is just awarding or rewarding just mediocrity. Just basic as mediocrity. And that's what we see in MLS coaching ranks. And that is what's being recycled at the expense of potentially better black head coaches, right? And so MLS is going through some things. So again, it's something to keep an eye on, these head coach vacancies, head coaching vacancies, especially going into the 2024 season. All right. So keep your eye on that as we go forward. All right. So, MLS got a lot of shit going on with them, a lot of trash individuals being recycled. However, they are entering the playoffs right now. Oh, actually, this weekend, right? So we're on Friday, October 20th. This weekend is the final match day, for decision day for MLS to see who will make the final cut for the playoffs. And as such, we are bringing to you match day 37's dream team from the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. Again, we are highlighting the black goal scorers for match day 37 to continue to highlight and represent the players and the ballers of MLS. So let's see who we got first on the dream team. Cali or AD?
Yep, I got it. I'll take care of the East like I usually do. First and foremost, Miles Robinson. All right, U.S. international. We've seen him on the U.S. men's national team. He's a staple there. 1-1 game versus Columbus. The second goal of the season. The goal is on a set piece that Miles really got up for. He was also falling back kind of from contact, and he still managed to find the bottom corner of the far post. Perfectly placed, just out of the reach of the keeper. Fun fact: Miles Robinson is a Syracuse grad. All right, and that school has produced plenty of black talent. One of them, Kamal Miller, right here in Miami, Canadian international. Levante Johnson in Vancouver, Abdi Salim in Orlando. We don't talk about Orlando much. Tejan Buchanan, he was drafted by Vancouver, but he's currently with Club Bruges, playing some Belgian soccer. And they are currently playing in the Europa Conference League. So dude's doing big things right now. We had three players from Montreal on the dream team in the East for match day 37. The first one, Sunusi Ibrahim, second goal of the season. We got, again, three players from Montreal. He was the first one, absolutely burned the defense and tapped it in on assist after a great pass from Opoku, who we'll talk about next. He's a Nigerian international who signed to Montreal from Nasarawa United in the Nigerian Premier League, where he scored 10 goals in only 22 games. So dude was balling in Nigeria, and he signed over to Montreal, came over stateside. Next for Montreal, we have Kouadou Opoku. His sixth goal in the season, his third for Montreal. He's freshly signed. He's from Ghana, signed from LAFC, and he signed with LAFC from Atram de Visser, from the second division of the Premier League in Ghana. All right, and he absolutely cooked the defense, passed it off, and got it back on a rebound, and he fired it from out of the box, finding it top bins. All right. But I think this was an absolute gem that the States found a dude playing the second division of the league in Ghana. For great scouting there. And then the last goal scorer for Montreal, we have Mason Toye, his third in the season. It was a rebound off the keeper. Toye was waiting there, and he was able to fire it in. So, oh, and finally, I guess we have to talk about the Orlando guy. Ivan Angulo, I think we've mentioned him before. He is on loan in Orlando from Palmeiras in Brazil. It was a 3-2 game versus New England. It was his fifth goal in the season. Came on a nice cross into the box where he was able to fire it in near post. And he has 11 total goal contributions, with 6 of those being assists. And that wraps up the Eastern Conference Dream Team.
Listen, the hate that Cali has for Orlando is just absolutely unmatched. I love it. And we love it.
It's not just a club. I hate the city as a whole. Like, I think it's a terrible, terrible place. So I don't care what comes with that. There's nothing you can say to me if you live in Orlando. There's nothing you can do to hurt me. You live in Orlando.
Buena Vista, who?
You can keep your Kissimmee. I'll keep our Kendall. It's fine.
So now to head over to the West Side to look at the Western Conference Dream Team. We first have up on the list Frank Bolie from Portland, who scored his 7th goal on the season. He had a cheeky little back heel that he didn't even think twice about it before striking. He just put his foot out, boom, or put his foot over and backheeled it in. It was a little consolation while Portland was getting trounced 4-0 until then. And he also had another ball find the back of the net that was called for offside. So technically he scored 2, but 1 didn't count. We've got 2 players from LAFC on the list in their 4-2 win versus Austin. The first person on the list is Timothy Tillman. He had his 4th goal of the season, and his ball was placed at his feet by Denis Bunga, while he stood directly in front of the goal. And it was the first goal of the game on the first shot. So immediately this man was shooting. Speaking of Denis Bunga, he had a brace in this game. He scored his 18th and 19th goals of the season, and the French-born Gabon international first had a penalty that he kicked straight down the middle, thanks to a foul that was on Kike Oliveira in the box with some help from VAR. They went and reviewed that. They said, yeah, for sure. The second goal was a backdoor tap in off a long cross from Matthias Bogus, keeping his MVP hopes alive against super MVP hopeful Lucho Costa.
Bogus, by the way.
Matush Bogus. Did I get it?
Yeah, basically.
Matush? Or less. Bogus.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce Matush.
Copy.
I have a Turkish friend named that, so that's how I thought of that.
Shout out your friend.
Shout out Turkey.
Shout out Palestine. Anyway, the fourth player on the list would be Jeremy Ebobise from San Jose, who scored his 10th goal of the season. He had a sliding finish in the 3rd minute. Off a cross from Jackson Ewell. Shout out to Jeremy, by the way, for recently publishing an article on the Players Tribune. So go check that out. Nice article by him. The fifth awardee of the Dream Team on the Western side is Jader Obrian from Dallas. He hit the equalizer versus San Jose to make it a 1-1 game. He had his 5th goal of the season. The Colombian man is just too fast. He beat the defender to the long ball that seemed to be not coming his way at all. He just kind of moved him out of the way, took the ball, rocketed it behind the keeper with a little bender, and the assist was from Jesus Pereira. Our 7th awardee would be Nelson Quiñones from Houston. He had a brace in their 5-1 win versus Colorado. Houston, by the way, is drubbing their opponents. LAFC playoff collision course, maybe. Anyway, the brace was for the owner of the rare first name on the back of the shirt in MLS for Nelson Quiñones. He rocks the Nelson on the back, and I love that for him.
Hell yeah. I love that. I love seeing that. Nelson Jr. Yeah. I think it is, right?
Love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
He had his third and fourth goals of the season, so he's getting his little tally up. The fourth goal was pulled into the bottom corner by a string. It was probably more impressive than the sitter that he placed in the back of the net before that. And the last awardee is Hassani Dotson from Minnesota, and he scored his third goal of the season, second goal in as many games for the 26-year-old from Oregon State, helping Minnesota to cruise to a 5-2 win over the LA Galaxy, a W that they could use right now. Jermaine, what's going on in Minnesota right now?
Great transition. Apologies for the mute, but I also want to give a big shout out to y'all for covering that Dream Team. Big shout out to everyone who made the Match Day 37 Dream Team. But man, AD, Minnesota is going through some things right now, right? So definitely shout out to Hassani for bringing any type of joy that the club definitely needs at this moment. So yeah, as we mentioned, Minnesota recently parted ways with their head coach, Adrian Heath. But what we wanted to talk about for our footnote segment for today was actually the employee strike that happened with Minnesota United. So this past Match Day 37, members of the IATSE Local 745 Union, which are the audio and visual workers for Minnesota United and other sports audio and visual workers throughout the state, they went on strike, right? And it was the club's final home game of the season, right? As a result, if you were paying attention, the Apple TV MLS season pass broadcast of the Minnesota LA Galaxy game, which as AD mentioned, ended in a 5-2 victory for Minnesota, was actually blacked out. You couldn't even watch it on Apple TV, right? And so again, shout out to Hassani Dotson for doing his thing on that night. But listen, an unexpected blackout, right? And I think what's funny is that the way MLS Season Pass was advertised and marketed, right, it was advertised as having no blackouts. I don't know if y'all remember this, but that was a big selling point, right? Well, they definitely did not account for this badass worker strike. So you definitely love to see that. Again, so on October 7th, IATSE Local 745 went on strike, citing the fact that for the last 7 months, they have yet to secure their first contract with club management. Okay, in an X thread, they said that, quote, "The company rejected our request for a $50 a day healthcare contribution, telling us, quote, we'll allow you to deduct that from your wages." Okay, which, sidebar, these workers apparently make $225 a match, right, according to an article from this news outlet, Racket. So the club basically said, nah, we're not going to make any healthcare contributions for our employees, but what they can do is just take it out of their already low wages, right? Which, of course, is absolutely capitalism at its height, right? It's nuts. The thread goes on to say, we're disappointed that Dr. Bill McGuire, former CEO of United Health, right? The irony of this all is, you know, it's all about healthcare, right? So Dr. Bill McGuire, the owner of Minnesota, the CEO or the former CEO of United Health, is so reluctant to provide healthcare support that amounts to just $12,000 for the entire season, right? But we're told that this is an outrageous cost increase. Okay, this is again from the Twitter X thread from the union's page, right? So they also demanded 4% annual raises, and prior to this season, employees were already pissed about the general lack of resources and benefits that the club offered them. Right, this same Racket article even talked about employees of the club having to pay for their own stadium parking. Okay, now if you we have many complaints about Inter Miami's parking situation, but that is absolutely nuts. That's a new level of low, a new level of cheap, right? To say the least. Also, the lawyers that are representing Minnesota United, Littler Mendelson, are the same clowns that represented Starbucks, Amazon, and Trader Joe's in their recent labor disputes. Okay. But also, shout out to those Scandinavian sour swimmers from Trader Joe's. Those things rock. Do y'all rock a Trader Joe's at all?
I gotta get on it.
You gotta get on
it. I'm a big Trader Joe's guy. We're a big Trader Joe's household.
You and Joe, like that.
Yeah. That's it. Shout out to TJ, man. But also, get y'all act together with these workers, right? You gotta, you know, treat your workers a little better. Come on. So, anyways, Minnesota United is absolutely in the dumps right now, and rightly so. Big shout out to IATSE Local 745 for their radical decision to stop work and go on strike. Not sure how many brothers and sisters are in that picket line. Right, we're talking about Minnesota here. But we definitely want to stand in solidarity with the working classes, always, always. Unless, of course, y'all got some racist skeletons in your closet and we shall no longer be rocking with y'all. So also, Bill McGuire, not a great individual or company executive, right? Especially when he was the CEO of United Health. Right. Short side note, during this time, he apparently received stock options illegally, which allowed him to profit northwards of $1.5 billion. OK, that was billion with a B. OK, B as in billion. OK, he was essentially under investigation for securities fraud. So in 2006, a number of different companies were actually being hunted down for similar illegal practices. And McGuire and United Health were caught up in that, forcing McGuire to retire, right, before he could be fired. Not get fired, but retired, okay? And so because of that distinction, because he retired, right, and didn't get fired, Mans was also gifted what they call a golden parachute of nearly $300 million, class, okay? $300 million, which makes me wonder, is Minnesota United a money laundering scheme? What the hell is going on with that?
I also want to point out, according to Forbes, his contract with United Healthcare was 5 years, $124.8 million. So for we're putting stock options aside and a $300 million buyout for retiring, my dog made $125 million. Motherfucker couldn't pay these guys $12,000.
Not my fuck dog.
They are. Yeah, speak for yourself. That's your dog, damn it. But yo, he's nuts, and he is an active owner of an MLS club.
Yeah.
Okay. So the money that he was being investigated for, right? All the billion, the capital B billion, and now Mans is an MLS owner. What's going on here? What's happening? I'm not sure.
And you know what? All the dumb shit aside, right? Like, aside from the fact that, you know, whatever, $300 million retirement package, $1.5 billion in, you know, trade stock options, whatever the fuck he did. Dude, calling $12,000 a drop in the bucket is an exaggeration. This transcends more than soccer and sports ownership, right? Like, we see this with everyday working lives where, you know, you have multi-millionaire on top of multi-millionaire, you know, CEOs and owners of companies and employees not receiving fair wages. Amazon is a perfect example of that. Obviously, we all know who Jeff Bezos is, second richest man in the world, I guess, now with the you know, apartheid-inducing emerald miner that runs X now, or Twitter. You know what I'm going to call it? Twitter. The kid dead names his kids. I'm going to dead name his shit too. You know, Jeff Bezos makes, I mean, just stupid money. The motherfucker has flown several rockets into fucking space. The average annual turnover of Amazon is 150%. 150% annual turnover. That's fucking ridiculous. This guy can take a fraction of his wealth and make life better for his employees. And he just won't. And it's a straight power trip. It's wealth hoarding. And again, we can go, we can break down the capitalist monster as much as we want, but you know, it's just sad that, you know, you have, well, there's so many people that are so grossly wealthy, but you don't become that grossly wealthy by being a good person. You just don't, because that motherfucker, Jeff Bezos, isn't working those motherfucking warehouses, not driving those damn trucks. You know, this dickhead in Minnesota, he's not sitting there, you know, working with the players or training them up or in the athletic room or in the training room or holding the cameras or, you know, doing the graphics or making sure the stadium's ready. That motherfucker's sitting in his suite. He shows up an hour before game time. He leaves, you know, probably early if he even shows up at all. And the motherfucker's drinking in fucking cash. You know, and it's all, you only accumulate that type of wealth by exploiting workers and exploiting labor. So, you know, I'm glad that they did that, because when your cash cows decides to stop working, you know, and you can't make your money now, that's how shit happens. So I always stand in solidarity with, you know, union workers, and you know, I'll jump into a fucking picket line with you, baby. Like I will have no hesitation about that. So it's just disgusting that this is the amount of wealth that there is in this country, and this type of shit still happens. You know.
Listen, Cali is ready to join the picket line tomorrow. Yesterday, damn it.
While you guys were talking, listen, I booked my flight to Minnesota. I'm leaving in the morning.
In the morning, right? In the morning, right?
Red eye.
Let's get it. Absolutely. But yeah, you know, definitely. Big shout out to the union workers for going on strike. And again, right, it's just funny, right, that the big selling point for MLS season pass was no blackouts, right? You could get any game. And then the workers like, nah.
No, you're getting blacked out today.
Yeah. Y'all getting blacked out today. So definitely shout out to Minnesota United, all the employees, all the players, not so much the ownership. Y'all can go ahead and kick rocks. So listen, Cali, AD, I don't want to keep y'all. It's Friday night. You know, we got things to do, people to see. Anything else for y'all?
I just want to say shout out NWSL. No human needs $1 billion, let alone multi-billion. So do whatever you want with that, Ether Rich. And free Palestine. Anyway, that's all.
Hey, you're all one time, baby. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, shout out NWSL. Watch the playoffs. Support those women. You know, keep watching. Those girls need to be paid more too. The league minimum for NWSL is like $36,000 or something like that, which is wild for a professional athlete at the high stage. But that's a whole different discussion. But yeah, guys, solidarity is important. It's so important that we stand with the marginalized. It's so important that we stand with those being impacted the most by some of the disgusting practices that rich people put in. You know, and a little empathy goes a long way, you know, and you know, my dog keeps saying free Palestine. I'm right there with you, dog. I'm not going to get into that too much, because that is a very nuanced discussion that we don't need to have right now on a soccer podcast. But yeah, eat the rich, free Palestine. Let's go, AD.
Hey, y'all already know what it is. Free Palestine, right? Let's end it there. Cali, AD, thank y'all for doing another episode. Thank y'all for listening. Make sure you like. Hey, just go ahead and hit the little like button right now. Just hit it real quick. Hit the subscribe button.
Real quick.
Yeah, it takes a second.
Follow the socials. La la la.
Follow the socials. La la la.
Shout out.
Oh, man, that's great. Hey, shout out 50 Cent. Shout out Fat Joe. Shout out to Ja Rule. Sometimes. Ja Rule, sometimes. Not so much the Fyre Festival. Ja Rule, the original Drake? Too much? Ooh. Let me fall back. Let me fall back. I'm just saying the melodies.
I'm not mad at the claim.
The singing. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there. We'll pick it back up.
He's got elements of, you know what? Yeah, we'll We'll pick it up. He's got elements of people.
I want to know this. I didn't love Drake's new album.
Oh!
Didn't love it. Didn't love it.
Flex bomb.
Didn't love it.
End it.
It was like, the song with J. Cole.
Bye.
It was all J. Cole.
Fantastic. His Spanish is disgusting. Bye.
Deuces. To bomb a black for them.